Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good that you are here today, and it's good that we are here today. Both our pastors are out of town today, and so some of you know who we are, but we always come to 11, so some of you have never seen us. I'm Pastor Francis, and this is Pastor Dallin. We're members here. And today we're going to lead worship. I want to welcome any visitors who may be with us this morning. It's always good to have visitors with us, and we hope that you will make yourselves at home here. And some announcements. Please read your bulletin for them. But just to emphasize the 4th of July party that's coming up, there will be free hot dogs and free glow sticks. And then you're invited to bring food for your family. And a chair. Bring a chair. The summer worship schedule begins next week. This service, the informal service, will be at 9:30. And the traditional service will be at 11. And also to remind you to sign up to help at God's Work, Our Hands, on August 11th. There are sign-up sheets and donation boxes and all kinds of information about it in Luther Hall. There are two opportunities for men's fellowship coming up, and that's in your bulletin. And then we want to extend our sympathy and prayers for the family of Nancy Goy, who passed away this week. She's been a member a long time, but hasn't been here recently.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. A lesson from Luke today is from the 9th chapter. And we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So this morning, our Galatians text, which I did not read for you, but I will incorporate in here, and St. Paul's letter to the Galatians and Luke's gospel present with us two very different views of discipleship. St. Paul writes to the community of believers in Galatia that living a life in the Spirit, that is, a life as a follower of Jesus, is both guided by and gifted with the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul writes, the fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, those sound like the kind of attributes I would like to have. Wouldn't you like to be that person? And wouldn't you like to be a part of a community made up of people like that? Well, you are. I have been blessed in my life to know disciples who display these attributes, or at least some of the attributes, some of the time. And I'm sure you know many yourself. On my better days, I have even shown forth some of them. And so have you. You and I and all the baptized have been called by the Spirit to live disciple lives, lives that are characterized and gifted by these attributes. Remember, these are gifts of the Spirit. But before you sign up to become a follower of Jesus, listen to the words from Luke's Gospel. And remember, at this point in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem and toward the cross. And there is an urgency about his words. There's no time to delay, no time for second thoughts. Jesus is very serious and determined and in a hurry to fulfill his mission. From what Luke tells us, clearly Jesus did not learn his methods of recruiting disciples from the church growth movement of a few years ago. Nor is Jesus a student of one mega church leader whose formula for success is filling the theater on Sunday morning, filling all of the seats. He did this with a formula. He said, find a need and fill it. In other words, do your market research. Study the wants and needs of your community, and then offer them what they want. But Jesus is not looking for members of a church. Jesus is inviting people to be his disciples, his followers, those who follow his discipline. Listen to what Jesus says to one who volunteers to, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Jesus' response, striking, off-putting. Foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. In other words, if you come with me, there will be dislocation in your life. No home, no security, no comfort, but only a life on the move. Are you ready for this? Then hurry up. To another eager would-be disciple who asks first, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Surely family obligations, the sacred task of burying the dead, burying one's own father, will take precedence over, or at least allow a delay. But no, in what must be some of the harshest recorded words of Jesus, he says, let the dead bury the dead. He gives no hint of sympathy or comfort or understanding. Jesus' call has an immediacy about it. What in the name of God's kingdom is going on here? There's a third hopeful who pleads to first say farewell to family. Jesus' response, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Being a disciple of Jesus means a whole new way of life. What came before must be left behind. Don't look back. The time is now. The time is short. It's an urgent call. There is no time to wait. We must be about my Father's business. Jesus' call to discipleship is a call to serve others, to identify with the poor, the ill, those who live on the margins of society. It is a call to sacrificial living. William Willimon, a pastor and chaplain and professor at Duke University, tells the story of a young woman who was a student and a member of the university congregation. The young lady was brought up in the faith. She came from a very close-knit family. They were committed to God and to their church. They worshiped faithfully, attended Sunday school, sent their daughter to a church school. Clearly, they put their trust in Jesus. So it was no surprise, really, when the daughter, upon graduation, decided to join the Peace Corps. It was the Christian thing. It was a discipleship thing to do, to spend one's life serving others, helping others. She was directing her life outward and not inward toward herself. Sometime during her second year in the Corps, she contracted a disease which was common to the country where she was serving, but it proved to be fatal for her. Her family was, of course, devastated. Through months of sorrow, grief, tears, long talks with their pastor, surrounded by their congregation in prayer, the parents came slowly, but eventually to understand that it was because they had been such good disciples of Jesus that their daughter had died. If they had not brought her up faithfully to be Jesus' follower, well, perhaps their daughter might still be alive. Discipleship can be very difficult, asking much of us, much of our time, our talents, and our treasures. Being a disciple following in Jesus' footsteps as he sets his face toward the cross, reflecting the love of the Father in all that we do and all that we say, loving and acting on behalf of the poor, those people that we, quite frankly, find unlovable, those people we have differences with. Being a disciple, living a life of service, that's what gives life meaning. A life of service, being a disciple, gives life meaning. Psychotherapist F. Scott Peck tells the story of a patient he had, and she was suffering from acute depression and was not responding to therapy. Peck was about to admit to her that he couldn't help her, when one day she comes bouncing into his office, excited, smiling, looked like she felt really good about herself. Dr. Peck asked her to explain what had happened to her. And she said, "Well, my car was out of service. I couldn't use my car and I had to get to the grocery store. So I asked my pastor if he could give me a lift. He said he would, but first he had to make some hospital calls." When they arrived at the hospital, the pastor invited the woman to come in with him. Further, he suggested that she might want to visit some of the patients, fellow members of her congregation. And so she did. She talked to a couple patients and even prayed with them. She was astounded at their gratefulness for showing simple concern. Serving others had a positive effect on her. Dr. Peck commented to the woman that now they both knew what she could do to overcome her depressed feeling. Her response? "You don't expect me to do that every day, do you?" It has been Dr. Peck's experience, it has been my experience in my own life and in the lives of so many others. Being Jesus' disciple, that is, being a reflection of God's love in the world, here is where life has meaning. In a world full of people who are starving for meaning in their life, it's the good news of Jesus Christ and being his disciple that brings joy and ultimate meaning to our lives. And in that meaning, we find the gifts of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These gifts are yours. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot know the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Strengthened by the Spirit who gives us words to speak and hearts to hear, let us bring our hopes and needs to God who listens. Almighty God, you have graciously bestowed upon us the gifts of the Spirit so that we might be reflections of your love in the world. Give us courage and confidence to share that love in all the places and roles to which you have called us. Let us pray. Gather up the sick in your healing arms and hold them in your care. Be with those who have special needs. These we may name aloud or in our hearts. Your care extends to every nation, wherever there is war, hardship, violence, suffering, or despair. Come with your peace and saving power and bring your people hope once again. We remember especially this day the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Palestine, Israel, Syria, North Korea, and Venezuela. Let us work for that day when swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. You are the shelter and the refuge of us all. Bless those who travel in these summer months. Protect those who seek work and watch over all who have no place to lay their heads. For our sisters and brothers in Christ around the globe, come together to be strengthened and renewed in worship for daily lives of service. Bless our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, and all leaders of your church. Continue to richly bless the mission and ministry of San Marcos Lutheran. Let this be a place where we act with justice, serve our neighbor, and walk humbly with God. We lift our prayers to you, God of mercy, confident that all things are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Holy God, maker, redeemer, and healer, in the harmonious world of your creation, the plants and animals, the seas and stars, were whole and well in your praise. When sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.